This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Bit of Martha and the Vandellas. You remember them? Dancing in the Street? That's one of those songs you had to get up and dance to whenever you heard it. Of course, be better if you had a partner. Very danceable. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy, and along with my partner and my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much. It is Friday, May the 13th. Wow, May the 13th, Friday? Feeling lucky? You feeling lucky, punk? Do you go under ladders? Well, how many people have walked under a ladder, actually? Do you turn your umbrella upside down? Whatever. Anyway, it's Friday the 13th. I guess we get up two or three of them a year, do we not? In a few minutes, Weifeng Zong will join us. He is from George Mason University's Mercatus Center. And we're going to be talking with Weifeng about keeping the hope of freedom alive in the Indo-Pacific, specifically Vietnam, Hong Kong, and Taiwan. So stay tuned for that. I think you're going to find it very, very interesting. And now it's baby formula that's gone missing. Have you been hearing this? Although not apparently at our southern border, where illegal migrants continue to pour in, and I guess there's a baby formula for the children there. So we are going to get some thoughts on all of that, as well as a few other things, a little bit later in the show, from the proprietor of the Barber Poll. The Barber Poll is Mainstream America's poll, Andrew Ceresi. So stay tuned for Andrew. And do you want to keep from getting dementia? You might do well to stock up on blueberries. Blueberries. We are going to take a look at that. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our Ultimate Top 10, for those of you faithful listeners, you know that on Wednesday we gave you the top 10 names for boys last year, according to Social Security. We are going to give you the top 10 names for girls at the end of our show. I want to see if Ed has any clue at all as to what the top girl's name is. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barber Shop. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. And guys, I'm telling you, it is the best place you can go at the best price for a great haircut. Call for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. Well, lots of countries that are not in NATO right now but are bordering Russia have been thinking very seriously about applying for membership. Finland's ambassador to the U.S. defended the move to join NATO and argued it's not a threat towards Russia for its war on Ukraine. He said, "Finland joining NATO does not pose a threat to anybody, let alone to Russia." He said, "We have said really clearly that our joining the alliance is a defensive move. We are doing it for the sake of defense of Finland." They're right on the border of Russia, and they're worried. I don't care what the guy says. If he can wander into the Ukraine, he can wander into Finland. Can he not, Putin? So can you blame him? Meanwhile, Sweden. Next door, Sweden is also expected to make a decision on whether or not to join NATO within the next few days. You see, it's starting to backfire on Putin. And also, apparently, he's pulled some troops, Russian troops, out of the area where he was trying to take over a particular city. It's not working out too well for him right now. In the meantime, you know, we've heard about, well, when everything is over with, we're going to have some sort of war crimes trial for what they're doing in Ukraine. Well, Ukraine held its first war crimes trial. The first soldier arrested for war crimes, the first Russian soldier arrested for war crimes, was put to trial today. Vadim Shishimarin, he's 26. He was arrested for killing a 62-year-old civilian in Chupakivka, Ukraine. Have you ever been to Chupakivka, Ed?
Can't even say it.
Uh-huh, I can't either. And this guy is the first one to be held for a war crimes trial. Here was his defense. I was ordered to shoot. He said, I shot one round at him. He falls, and we kept on going. He could get a maximum sentence of life in prison. So that's what's going on right now there. It's not working out. Then I'm reading that Putin really is ill.
Have we got that confirmed?
No.
You know?
We haven't got it confirmed. You know. It was one of those oligarchs. The last I read, it's another oligarch. Mm. And the way that oligarch was describing it, I thought it was a little strange. He had Putin, you know, demented and ill, and he's got some sort of a horrible disease. And I don't know. It didn't sound rational to me.
He doesn't look like he's slowing down.
No.
You know.
No, I don't think he is either. Remember we had talked about the fact that...
I mean, it's been a while since he's been on a horse with his shirt off, but, you know.
I want to see him get back on a hockey rink. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
All the players slowed down.
Yeah.
As if there was this old man going down the hockey rink, you know, letting him go by. Well, did you notice?
Wouldn't you?
I would have boarded him.
Can you imagine where you'd be if you hit him?
Yes, I know where I would be. But wouldn't that have been a great scene? See some 24-year-old, 6'2" hockey player from Russia check Putin into the ports. I think that would be... It would be worth the 42 years he would have to spend in Siberia.
It's pretty cold.
It is cold there. It is cold. We got a lot of things going on today.
Yeah, you brought up the baby formula.
Yeah.
You know, it's not only the baby formula, although that is front and center right now. I mean, the shelves in the grocery store, you have a problem with cat food, meat and canned goods. I mean, I was thinking, Paul, you remember the good old days during the pandemic when all it was toilet paper?
Yes. That was the only thing.
That was the good days, wasn't it?
Oh, for those good old days where we had no toilet paper, but everything else.
All you had to do was go to 3 or 4 stores, find a couple of rogue rolls of toilet paper.
You were directing me to a couple of places that you said had it.
Yeah.
But now it's baby formula.
Yeah.
It's cat food. It's meat. We talked about gas prices. Every time I go out and pass that a particular gas station, he's been changing it, you know?
Yeah.
Don't know.
You know, they say by Memorial Day, or at least Memorial Day weekend, it will be at 5.
Oh, here in Tampa Bay. Yeah. I believe
it
might be.
It would be, what, it's 7 in California?
Oh, yeah. I think it's close to 7 there now in some places in California. This is what California is so deeply liberal or blue. But I'm thinking that there's a chance that a whole bunch of people in California that were Democrats are going to be out of a job in Congress.
Do you know how many people would jump on Biden's side again if he would just reverse what he did? Even if he just said, listen, you know, I know we did this at first, but tough times call for tough measures. We need to restart the pipeline. We need to start drilling again. We need to open up those leases and get things flowing again. Do you know how many people would probably jump on his side?
Every Democrat would be back on his side for sure, and a lot of the independents, because they would say, you know what, the guy's admitting that.
That's how stubborn they are, and that's how they put themselves before the country.
Exactly. they are refusing. And not only that, they have been cutting back on the oil leases in Anwar now.
Now I'm hearing that the Jen Psaki, or I believe it was her, talking about it could come to rations.
Oh, by the way, you have to call her the late Jen Psaki.
Well, yeah, I know, because today's her last day.
Not that she's passing away, but she's passing out of the White House.
Yeah,
then she's going to pass out.
They're talking about rationing diesel.
And
you know what that does to the trucking industry?
Yeah, it stops them dead in their tracks. Stops them dead in their tracks. Then we don't get anything. Nothing.
Of course, we got all
because the truck's got to bring it.
Yeah, we got all those electric trucks out there. Yeah. You know, we could use those.
Yeah, they're all ready to go.
Yeah,
they're all ready to go. Standing by.
Haven't you seen any new electric semi truck?
I wonder how far they could go on a charge
about 28 miles.
Yes, it's an absolute mess. But when you get the women, the childbearing women. Against you, you're in big trouble if you're a Democrat. Big trouble.
And then to find out there's plenty of formula if you go down to the border and speak Spanish.
And we're going to be talking about that a little bit later as well. But right now we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Wai Feng Zhang is going to join us. We're going to talk about the fight for freedom in the Indo-Pacific.
A ride in the wagon, she crawled in.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Jesse is a friend. Hey, we are back on a Friday the 13th. Oh my goodness, you feeling lucky or unlucky? When I was younger, I used to kind of worry a little bit about it. I would just be a little bit more careful. Now it does. I think it's lost its punch. What do you think, Ed?
Friday the 13th always meant to me the movie.
The what?
The movie. Friday the 13th.
Oh, the movie.
Jason Voorhees, you know.
Yes.
Well, the first 25 movies were okay, but then they got boring after that, so.
Did you ever believe, even when you were younger, that Friday the 13th indeed could be an unlucky day?
No, I don't.
Didn't buy into that one at all, huh?
I think the movie exercised that.
The exercised movie. All right. We are delighted to have Wai Feng Zhang join us. And before we start speaking with him, I just saw this late last night. China has begun a chilling new crackdown by rounding up notable pro-democracy advocates, including one of the most senior Catholic clerics in Asia and a Cantonese pop star. Retired Cardinal Joseph Zen, one of the most senior Catholic clerics in Asia, among a group of veteran advocates arrested Wednesday for colluding with foreign sources. And Cantonese pop singer Denise Ho and another one, Margaret, I guess it's pronounced N-G, Nga, and prominent cultural studies scholar Hui Poi Kung, also arrested. Criticism came from Western nations who are accusing China of eviscerating the freedom that it once promised that Hong Kong could maintain. Well, we've got Wai Feng Zhang with us. He is a senior research fellow at George Mason University's Mercatus Center. He knows a lot about that area because he's been around and come from that area. And with specifically, we're going to talk with him about what is indeed going on in Hong Kong as well as in Vietnam and Taiwan. Wai Fang, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thank you, Paul, for having me.
It's our pleasure. And what you know, with all the things that are going on in Ukraine and here in the United States, of course, with you know, the economy and the stock market and all of that, maybe our eyes are not as focused as maybe they should be on the Indo-Pacific right now. But bring us up to date a little bit. You talk about the fact that President Biden has met with Southeast Asian leaders in Washington this week for a summit. What is the state of freedom these days when it comes to places like Hong Kong and Vietnam and Taiwan?
That's a question that has very diverse answer depending on which countries we are talking about.
That's true.
Because if you look at the ASEAN countries, the leaders who are coming to D.C., I think they met with the president yesterday and meeting with officials with the State Department today. Many of those countries are, you know, full of human rights abusers. There are no democracies. So for this reason, I think people do not have, I mean, think about Myanmar, right, which just had a coup last year. So these countries, they are not the democracies that we have in mind. But they nevertheless are important in terms of the freedom of navigation in the South China Sea, because that's something that the United States and these Southeast Asian countries have in as a common interest, because the China's influence in the region, including, say, illegal fishing, China has a lot of fishing boats operating on those waters against the international norm. So that issue is common, even though these Southeast Asian countries are not democracies like the United States is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so that's the ASEAN.
Sure. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, when it comes to so Taiwan is perfectly operating as a democracy for years now, so that's a very different scenario there. But of course, Taiwan is a target of Chinese influence for sure. And Hong Kong, like you mentioned, it's very sad to see all these happenings. And they are, I think of Hong Kong as a victim of Chinese aggression. And I know the, I in fact, I just wrote about Hong Kong that I knew when I was there in the 2000, in the mid-2000s. And that it was only just less than a decade after the handover from the British. And Hong Kong was much freer than now.
Yes, indeed. It seems like it. In fact, you have written a series of articles for the Washington Examiner, and you focused on Hong Kong, Vietnam, and Taiwan. And you mentioned, and those of us that remember reading our history, Sun Yat-sen, the founding father of modern China. And you said if Sun Yat-sen were still alive, his intellectual home would be unrecognizable.
In fact, yeah.
Go ahead.
I remember one of the first things I saw in Hong Kong when I went to the university, the same university China's founding father, Sun Yat-sen, went for medical school. I went for economics a century later. But what I saw was, one of the things was his statue on the campus. And underneath it said, or next to it, has the words that I feel as though I have come home. And that's what he meant by intellectual birthplace, because Hong Kong, as a British colony, a long time ago, taught him the concept of liberty, you know, open society and good government. And that's something that we have seen disappear under the Chinese influence in Hong Kong.
Yeah, it's very scary. And we were all worried about, or at least a lot of us were worried about that as soon as the British handed control of Hong Kong over to nationalist China. You know, how long would it be before they would take over things and start squelching that kind of freedom? So you've also talked a little bit, and briefly here, about Vietnam, something, of course, that the United States, you know, we remember Vietnam with the bloody war between the North and the South. Now it is one country. And you mentioned that it's often thought of being just like China. But it's actually turning into something maybe a little bit better than we were fearing. Is that true?
Yeah, I think that's a development sort of overlooked in the United States here. Because, for example, when I remember growing up in China, people in China, they thought of Vietnam as a little brother of China. You know, they were sort of imitating all the major steps of economic reforms, the pro-market reforms China was doing since the 80s, and they even imitated the unfortunate one-child policy in China. So they had something along the line of population control, thinking that, you know, that might help economic growth, because when you have fewer mouths to feed, you have more money. It's a very misinformed policy. But Vietnam was imitating China for pretty far along until in recent years when the two started to diverge, because China, as we all know, is having less and less space in terms of the, you know, the space for the civil society under the Communist Party control. But Vietnam, if you look at how the election went, it's kind of has a little bit of competition between candidates. But if the elections in China, you oftentimes only have one candidate competing, quote unquote, one candidate competing for the seat that he or she was running for. Mm-hmm. But in Vietnam, you at least have multiple candidates, and people actually have the right to choose, and that puts pressure on politicians.
Do you think that China would crack down on Vietnam like it wants to crack down on Taiwan?
I don't think it has the, at least on Taiwan, China has been making the claim that, you know, it's a part of China. And so at least that has some of a legal argument, however not justified it is. But it doesn't have such claim even from the Chinese perspective on Vietnam.
Very interesting. We're talking with Weifeng Zhang, Senior Research Fellow at George Mason University's Mercatus Center. And we're talking about, you know, the fight for freedom in the Indo-Pacific. Now, this brings us, Weifeng, to Taiwan, which is on everybody's mind. The question is when, if not if, China will invade Taiwan. Do you think the war in Ukraine is influencing what the Chinese might do with the island of Taiwan?
I think there's no question that has changed Beijing's calculations. And I think the most surprising element, surprising even to us, many of us in the U.S., was how tough the sanctions could be on an economy, like the Russian economy. And so if you scaled it up to, in a hypothetical scenario, if China invades Taiwan and then the U.S. and Western allies sanctions the Chinese economy, the damage would be way much more consequential than the pressures now put on Putin. Mm-hmm. I think that's something impressive and surprising even to Beijing. And the so I think that gives us an opportunity to sort of gauge when an invasion might happen, because it seems after Ukraine, a precondition for invasion of Taiwan would be to sanctions-proof the Chinese economy. So to think about, what would we do if America sanctions us? And how are we going to handle the international finances if our Chinese banks are cut off from the international banking system? That sort of thing is what Beijing would need to worry about before even contemplating the invasion of Taiwan. So I would say that in terms of the economic pressures, it's giving Beijing pause. Not to say the invasion would not happen. I have always, as I perhaps have mentioned on the show too, been concerned that it's possible, because the Chinese aggression, as we have seen in the places like Hong Kong, there's no question that the aggression at some point would get to Taiwan. It's just a matter of when. And the Ukraine episode might give Beijing pause. Another thing that might make Beijing pause is how disastrous the economy has been now with all these lockdowns in Shanghai and possibly Beijing. And that when it hurts the economy, it hurts the power that China could project on the global stage.
Yeah, and it actually might be delaying what they might do. You know, this Taiwan versus China thing has been going on basically, I guess, since World War II. I remember as a little kid, the debates between Kennedy and Nixon, they were even talking about it as an issue. I'm talking about like 1960. And it seems like we, the United States, have slowly slipped away from the strong defense that we had at that time in case China was thinking of doing anything with Taiwan. Now we're saying, well, we recognize there's only one China and it's it's the Republic or the Nationalist Chinese, and we're sort of, you know, we're in so many words, we're saying, well, you know, if you go ahead and try to grab Taiwan, we're not necessarily going to do anything about it.
That's right. We are not necessarily going to do anything about it. That's how different it is now. Say, you mentioned the 60s. China under Mao was bombing all these small islands that was within the Taiwan territory. So there are a couple of very small islands that are much closer to mainland China, actually, than to Taiwan. And then at the time, Taiwan or the Republic of China actually had a defense treaty with the U.S. So U.S. actually had the obligation to defend Taiwan if China invades Taiwan. And Mao was curious and interested in testing the U.S. Resolve, so he decided to bomb those small islands. And the United States responded in a very determined fashion. You know, there's an aircraft carrier called USS Midway, which is now retired, parked permanently in San Diego. But back then, the United States basically just sent that fleet over to the Taiwan Strait. It was in the middle between those small islands and Taiwan, helping the Taiwanese military with
wow.
logistics to fight against China. So that kind of things, I mean, people thought...
That wouldn't happen today, would it?
It wouldn't happen today. So people, when we talk about U.S. commitment in terms of defending or helping defend Taiwan, people against it would say that's provocation. I think that's actually deterrence. Because when the U.S. resolve was tested, you need to step up.
I think you're right. I do. Wai-Fang, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. You know so much about that area, and I look forward to the next time that we have this opportunity. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Paul. The pleasure is all mine.
All right, sir. Thank you. Wai-Fang Zong. Okay. We're going to take our break. When we come back, now it's baby formula that's gone missing, although not apparently at the southern border where illegal migrants continue to pour in. We're going to talk about that, among other things, with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
I sometimes wonder why all the flowers had to die. I dream about you and I.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tan Talk listeners, get your calendars out because Senior Voice America is going to an every morning format from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Your hosts Tim Bryce and Berkeley Badger shall have even more time to discuss politics, religion, finance, and health. So set your dials, you early bird seniors, and join the call-in party every morning, 8 to 10 a.m. on your Tan Talk Radio Network. SBA, improving your day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday the 13th of all things. Freedom Works, and delighted to be here. Well, now Republicans, of course, are grabbing this whole baby formula shortage by the scruff of the neck and are using it. House Republicans calling for swift action from the Biden administration to address the nationwide shortage of baby formula. When Jen Psaki, who's, by the way, leaving her position as press secretary after today, was asked about when the Biden administration was aware that there was a shortage of baby formula, she actually contradicted herself. She said they've known for a while. But then when pressed about it, realized that if they've known about it for a while and have done nothing, it makes them look even worse. So then she started saying things like, well, Biden was informed sometime last week, you know. So I don't know. But baby formula, you don't want to get the mothers of this country upset. And because you lost everybody else, it would seem to me. We got the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. And Andrew, I know the baby formula is not a priority when you go shopping, but, you know, it's a big deal.
Well, you know, Paul, we just got to send a few trucks down to the southern border to bring it back.
That's the other thing. You're right about that.
I saw videos last night on television of pallets full of it down there.
Exactly. This is another thing. Yeah. And by the way,
the deal here, it's called America Last. Illegal immigrants first, America last, the hell with America. Okay?
Yeah, I think you may be right. In fact, the Washington Post, listen to this, their fact checker dismissed concerns that the Biden administration was sending baby formula to the border. He says, let's see here. This is a ridiculous outrage. The shortage of baby formula, a serious issue that the administration is seeking to address. But at the same time, the administration cannot be faulted for following the law and providing baby formula to undocumented immigrants. Well, I don't think that you want to start providing it to illegals before you provide it to the people that are citizens. So this guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
You know, Paul, I think it's the best thing they could do, because there's going to be nothing better than ticking off the American women.
Exactly.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I got one wife, and, you know, I do one little thing and forget about it.
I know.
I got to go run and hide. But can you imagine 50 million women after you?
Didn't Shakespeare have some quote about never get a woman scorned or something?
What I want to wonder is if the abortion protests are going to equal the amount of women they're going to protest no baby formula.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I got bets on it that the women that are looking for the baby formula could really outnumber the abortion women.
Yeah, I think so. By the way, Samuel Alito, the guy that whose draft opinion on Roe versus Wade was leaked, was talking, they were trying to ask him how he's doing, because they don't want to ask him directly on, you know, the actual opinion of Roe versus Wade while they're still talking about it. He said, well, we're doing pretty good, you know, but yet they still got all of these, I don't know, these crazies that are going to the houses of these justices. Go ahead.
They got so much to worry about in this country, and they're worried about abortion, they're worried about LGBT, they're worried about Black Lives Matter. The country's falling apart, and this is what they're worried about.
Yeah.
Again, I say 3% of the population, and now you got a shortage on food. They're talking about rationing diesel. Good luck with
yeah,
that one.
You're right. We've lost our way in this country, haven't we? We've lost our way. We've forgotten what our government is supposed to do and not do. We've forgotten that we became great because of independence, because of free markets, because of the lack of government involvement, not the over involvement. But we've lost our way.
Well, we lost our way because we're being guided by a bunch of morons who've never done a thing in their life. Okay, I mean, I think they need to start making prerequisites for politicians. Okay. I mean, did you just go to school, graduate, become a politician, or did you live a life and work a little bit and have some life experience? Because none of them do, Paul.
No, yeah, I think you're right. Look at Joe Biden.
He hasn't
spent a day in the free market in his life.
Exactly. And how do you become a multi-millionaire on $175,000 a year.
Well, one thing is you have a son like Hunter Biden and you send him over to Russia, China, the Ukraine.
Well,
get going, Hunter. I need some money, buddy. Let's start talking with some of these big leaders. You tell them I'm available. Go ahead.
Notice we're not hearing about the Hunter Biden laptop no more, Paul. They buried that.
Yep.
Okay. This is why they came out with the leak from the Supreme Court there about the abortion. They caused nothing but a good diversion for stupid people.
That's an interesting point. It is a bit of a diversion. By the way, and we're talking with the proprietor of the barber pole, who knows what he's talking about, Mainstream America's barber, Andrew Ceraci. So they've got this they got this thing going on with the leak and they're not talking about the person that leaked it too much either. They don't want to talk about looking to find that person. And in fact, I read that they might even be kind of the justices themselves might be somewhat intimidated into not saying who leaked it, even if they knew.
You know, Paul, it's amazing. They're not going after that person that leaked that, but they're going after a bunch of mothers and fathers that started talking at the school board meetings and calling them terrorists.
Yes.
And everything else, right? They went knocking on their
doors. The FBI actually, despite what they were saying, apparently were focusing and even sending, some of their people out to check into this, as if these people that are going to school board meetings and standing up for their kids and standing up for education. Can you believe that? I mean, talk about the state taking, taking away the rights of the citizens. Go ahead.
Paul, I mean, look at the head of the Department of Justice. There's a little weasel. I can guarantee that guy slept around in high school like you've never seen, and this is how he takes it out as he's a grown-up. Okay, you got to be a sneaky, sly little lying sucker.
Well, you may be right. So you think it's a Freudian thing with this guy?
Most of them, Paul.
Yeah, it could be. You're right.
But you know, Paul,
yeah.
I got a card in the mail the other day that I want to read to you.
Okay.
Okay, it says, Andrew, by chance a few months ago, I discovered the Paul Molloy Show and listened to it every chance I have. I enjoy the interaction between you and Paul, and I want to tell you that I agree with everything you say. And yes, the Democrats are ruining the country. Hopefully they will go down in flames in November. You and Paul both sound really good and caring people. Keep up the fight. Pat Solis.
Well, thank you, Pat. I really appreciate that you read that.
Something?
Yeah. Makes me feel good, and I know how people
listen to us, Paul.
Oh yeah, there's no question about it.
I mean, we are mainstream talking. We're not talking the news policy. Well, we're talking what the real people are talking about and what the real people are feeling.
Yeah, I like to think so, and I know you're doing it. You speak from the heart and you speak from the gut. You speak from how you really feel. You're not afraid to say what you feel, and I think a lot of people like Pat there appreciate that.
Paul? I listen to my customers. I listen what they're feeling, what they're going through. I got from young people to old people, Paul, and I can tell you problems that all of them have. You know?
Yes.
And it's all due to what's going on with our government here. That's what it all boils down to. We got a losing team running this country. We are the laughing stock of the world. We got a compromised president, China, Russia, and Ukraine. I believe that big time. Okay? They're all got things hanging over their heads. And we're falling because of it.
Yeah, we seem gutless, helpless. And then when you see that, for instance, with all of the concern about our ability to drill for oil and to get the price down because we would have more of it here in the United States, they start to shut down the leasing in Anwar. I mean, it's almost like they're intentionally trying to ruin the country.
Well, Paul, you know, they're trying to force you into getting electric cars. And
yeah.
Personally, I think we should take some of these plugs from these chargers and put them where these politicians need to get a charge.
Ed was talking about all of the electric trucks that we will now be seeing on the road.
Yeah.
They'll get about 28 miles before they stop dead in the middle of the highway.
I mean, what is wrong with these people? The blood of this country is oil. Period.
Everything depends on a truck driving and delivering the product. And if you're going to hike the diesel fuel to some ungodly amount, what does it add about? Is it close to $6 a gallon for diesel?
It is. Oh, yeah.
It's no scary. Question. All right. So
I remember. Paul,
so now we wonder why our food prices are going. Everything's got to go up.
Paul, when did the American people start getting an uprise about it? That's the part that bothers me.
Well, this is the thing about November. I think we're going to see a huge changeover. I really believe it.
Yeah, you know, it's almost,
I know, it's a long time away.
Can we make it till November?
I know what you're saying.
I mean, think about it.
I know.
People are
scary.
The average person right now is paying almost $6,000 a year more for the necessities that they buy and use every day, a year.
It's scary. Oh, wow, it's scary.
And this is just the beginning. I can guarantee you by the 4th of July, we're going to be paying close to $6 a gallon for gas.
Very
but
scary.
The thing that bothers me the most, what scares me more than anything, is the American people roll over, Paul, and take it.
I'm not sure that they're going to be taking it much longer.
Well, I hope not, but you know, I don't hear people talking by the pump, Paul, like I used to at first. They were going crazy. Now they're used to it.
Well, there is, as you know, a sense of helplessness. What are we going to do? Going to pull a gun and try to run to Washington? No, that's not going to do anything. So,
what do you think? You don't think 10 million people marching on Washington?
But it's never going to happen because you can't get all these people in unison. It won't happen. It won't happen.
That's right.
Because it won't happen.
People are complacent. That's what I'm saying. It won't happen.
We want to overturn things peacefully, do we not? That's what our country is. Why it survived.
Remember, our country wasn't made peacefully. Okay.
Wasn't made peacefully. But it's been maintained because of peace. We've lasted this long because of peace. And we haven't had the riots and the coups that other countries have had.
Well, we've had riots, Paul.
We've had riots, but we haven't had a coup. You know what
I mean. But they're not for the reasons that we need to have the riots. Okay?
Yeah.
They're not for the reasons. And the people need to start standing up and being a little bit tougher than rolling over and playing dead.
Well, there's no question I agree with you about one thing, and that is the apathy of our country. And we've got to light a fire. It is always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend. And kudos to Pat, who sent that letter to you.
That was great, wasn't it?
It really was.
You guys have a good weekend, buddy.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
The Master Barber. All right, we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, want to keep from getting Bidenitis? Oh, excuse me, dementia? Well, you might do well to stock up on blueberries. We are going to take a look.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for our final segment of Freedom Works. And we come to you, by the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. But if you cannot listen to us live, Big Ed has put all of our programs on podcast. Bless his heart. So just go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. You'll see the shows. You'll see the show. You'll see who the guest is and the top 10, the whole bit. And away you go. So, Ed, do you like or do you ever eat blueberries at all? Or do you like fruit in particular?
I eat blueberries probably once a week.
That's not bad.
Because blueberries are also a very good antitoxin.
They are indeed.
Yeah.
Well, good for you because, you know, they used to say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. But a new study from the University of Cincinnati shows blueberries may be better for your brain. They have found that a half cup of blueberries can keep middle-aged adults from developing dementia as they get older. Moreover, they claim blueberries lowers your insulin level, it improves your metabolic function, it contains high levels of micronutrients and antioxidants, and something called anthocyanins. He said these are the things, by the way, that give the blueberries their color. Mm. It's all of that. Mm. So maybe that kind of fruit with that kind of color, you know. Mm. But I like blueberries. I used to put it on cereal. Mm. And I don't know if it's any good, but you know when you go to the store and you see that Arizona tea, there's a blueberry-flavored Arizona tea.
Yeah.
I drink that. I don't know if that helps or not.
I don't know how much real blueberry is in that.
I don't
that
either. But if I start getting Bidenitis, you will let me know, won't you?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Who are you, by the way? Mm. So this is pretty interesting, and I've heard this before about the antioxidants. You know, and it's also that supposedly it helps in keeping certain kinds of cancers away. Mm. And, you know, it's really important.
There's a lot of fruits out there that are good for I don't want to say take them instead of your medication, but can also very much aid in the medications. Like mangoes are very, very important if you're trying to lower your blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Very much.
Just have a balance of fruits and vegetables. It's the same old story.
You mix it up. Damn things are getting so expensive, but you can mix it up, you know, one day a week, you know, so you're not getting the same thing all the time.
Right. Okay. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, I watched a very exciting Tampa Bay Lightning win in overtime last night. Did you watch any of that game at all?
I did. I was amazed that I kept waiting for the shoe to drop.
Yeah.
And think, well, this is it. And they pulled it off. But, I got to thinking, too, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but let's just remember that Toronto is by far the best team in the league.
You think so?
Oh.
What about the Colorado Rockies in the NHL?
How about Florida Panthers?
And the Florida Panthers.
Or Carolina.
Well, I know, but Colorado went through 4-0 over
mm-hmm.
there.
I know, but they're far from the best team in the league. And I'm just saying, if they get by Toronto, I'm not sure how much further they can make it. I think they're probably at the bottom of the playoff.
Even if they beat Toronto?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
I see.
I really don't expect that to happen. They're just not there this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not quite as good.
The penalties, the power play is very sluggish. And if they come out with like gangbusters like they did when they went up 5-1 about a week ago.
Yeah, early in the
They've got a chance, but they fall behind. I don't see them coming.
So
back.
They got game 7. It'll be Saturday. It'll be in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins that game goes to the winner of that Florida
mm-hmm.
Contest. I forget who Florida's playing.
I forget. Too.
Anyway, very exciting. All right. It is time for our top 10, Ed. And as you know, on Wednesday, we gave everybody the top 10 boys' names. Do you remember, by the way, do you remember what was number one?
I remember Noah was second.
That is correct.
I just can't remember who the first one.
Well, we talked about the Irish actor.
Oh, Liam.
That's right. Liam was number one. Liam, that's an interesting name. Mm. I guess, I don't know if it's really Irish. Okay, time for the top 10 girls' names. And once again, this comes from the Social Security Administration. These were the names that were given to the baby girls in 2021, right? Okay, yeah. Here we go. Number 10. Harper.
Harper?
Yeah. How do you like Harper for a
girl? As a last name, yeah.
You don't like it for a first name.
Never heard of Harper.
Oh, yeah. There was a famous author, Harper Lee, who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird.
Hmm.
All right, number 9. How about Evelyn? Evelyn.
That's an older name.
Yes, it is.
Jeez.
It's been around.
My
it's still great, popular.
My great aunt was Evelyn.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, Evelyn. All right, number 8. Mia.
Okay. Not bad.
It's an easy name to write and spell and say. It's mm-hmm. one syllable. Mia. Number 7. Isabella.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a long one. I wonder how you would nickname somebody. Izzy?
Well they go by short. Izzy? They go by Bella. My Bella. Niece's name is Isabella, and she goes by Bella.
Bella. Okay. Gotcha. Number 6. Sophia.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a good name.
Popular.
Sophie, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Number 5. Ava.
Okay.
You like that name?
Yeah.
A-V-A? Okay. Number 4. Amelia.
That's a bit of an older name.
It
but
is.
Okay.
Amelia's been around for a while. You're mm-hmm. right. You know, there's this, you remember reading about that woman that was the Amelia Earhart?
Yeah, the pilot.
The pilot, mm-hmm. yeah. They never found out what happened to her for sure.
Mm.
Okay, number 3.
She ran out of gas.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. Number 3 is Charlotte.
Okay.
What do you think of Charlotte?
Bit That's of an
been
old
around.
Name too?
That's an old name. Yeah. Yeah. That goes way back. What'd you call her? Charlie or Char? Or I guess.
Probably you, Char. I don't know.
Char, yeah. Okay. Number 2. Here's one that's, I think, very old too. Emma.
Huh.
Emma.
Never heard that.
Oh, come on. You've
Emma?
Heard Emma. No. Yeah, it's been around for a while. Emma?
No.
No?
No.
Annie M? Do you remember The Wizard of Oz watching
well, that's
television?
Annie M. You said Emma.
It's Emma, but Auntie
well, that's
M.
For short, okay.
Yeah, yeah. She, her name was Emma. That's been that name's been around a long time. Long time. All right, my friend.
So the number one in...
I want to see if you get anywhere close.
The way the country's going in 5 years, it'll be Consuela.
Oh, yeah, I never thought of that. I'll tell you one thing. You did get the A right at the end of the name, but that's about all. Olivia. Olivia.
Olivia.
Yeah, would you call her, would you call her Olive for sure?
Now, I noticed no biblical names, right?
That's right.
For that, women?
That's another point. You know that when we did the men, we had Benjamin.
Yeah.
We had like Noah. And Elijah.
Yeah.
Benjamin, Noah, and Elijah. Those are screaming biblical names. But we don't, you're right, we don't have any biblical names for the women. That's very, very interesting. And what about names like Mary? You know, I used to think that was the most common
ones,
name.
Yeah.
It didn't make the top 10.
Lori.
Lori is another one. Very interesting. Okay. Well, thank you very much for being with us. We will indeed be back, God willing, on Monday. Be safe, and remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills